Keep your palm branches throughout the year. Put them in a place where you can find them. Come January, beginning of February next year, we'll be collecting these back up so that I can then burn them for the ashes for Ash Wednesday service that we will have next year. Okay? Keep these, I would say, in a prominent place where you can remember that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there was a day that he triumphantly marched into Jerusalem. And it says that many put down their coats and palm leaves for him to walk upon. And people were all crying out, "Praise God, Hosanna in the highest." And the Pharisees were saying, "Please make the people stop." And I still remember what Jesus says. Even if the people were to stop, the rocks would cry out and call me Lord. So here's your challenge for this week. This isn't a sermon, by the way. I'll give you just an additional free challenge for this week. Don't let the rocks cry out this week. You speak up. And you tell people that Jesus is the Christ, is the Lord, is the King of kings and Lord of lords. You tell. Don't let the rocks speak this week. I know some of you are going to tell me that rocks don't speak. But I understand what the Lord says. They will cry out and recognize him as Lord even if we don't. Today we're going to be looking at a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, starting in the 26th chapter. Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. I'm going to read verses 17 down through verse 30. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad, and they began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. A busy week for Jesus. A triumphal entry. people calling out and praising him and calling out to God to save. The Jewish leaders, particularly the Pharisees, are asking the people to be quiet. Because if the people were too loud, the Romans could come in and squash their festival of unleavened bread, the Passover. Two different festivals that came to be celebrated at the same time. And the Passover is an incredible, important event that we need to know well. For you see, Jesus was a very faithful Jew. Born into a Jewish family and raised as a Jew his whole life, following the scriptures and what that was to be done by the folks. By the way, Jesus was always a Jew. That never changed. And very faithfully he followed these things. So Jesus faithfully celebrated the Passover with his disciples his last night before the crucifixion. His last night before the crucifixion on that Thursday night, he would celebrate this meal. And he set the stage. We don't know if he arranged with this house owner or not beforehand. Maybe he had. Maybe he hadn't. That doesn't matter. What matters is that the disciples are gathering together with Jesus and they are celebrating the Passover. The Passover, a meal that they have celebrated for thousands of years. Thousands. I have it in my office. I have actually what's the script for that night. For a faithful Jewish person, even today, that script is kept. It's done the same way every year, time after time. And it all begins when the youngest who is there for dinner calls out and says, "Father, why is this night different than any other night?" And the father of the family tells the story of the Passover. And what happened in Egypt for the people that were there. The works that God did, the miracles that God did to bring those people out of Egypt. And Jesus gathered with his disciples, as he had 2 years previous, to celebrate this meal. To faithfully keep this meal. About leading people out of Egypt. They celebrated God leading the people out of Egyptian slavery. You see, the people had gone down there. At one point, they were 70 in number because Joseph was there. And Joseph could take care of them. He was second in command in Egypt. And once that Pharaoh died, the idea of having the Israelites there slowly degraded to the place where now they were slave labor. And they grew to over 600,000 men, Scripture tells us. We don't know how many women and children. In their day, when they did a census, they didn't count the women and children. They just counted the men. Over 600,000, and they were in slavery, and they are celebrating this, that God came in and said, "Get a lamb. Sacrifice that lamb. Take the blood of that lamb and paint it on your door post. Paint it across the frame at the top. And the angel of death will pass over that household. And the firstborn will not be killed." And the Israelites did that. And this is what Jesus is celebrating with his disciples. Going back and thinking about how God had led them out of slavery. The incredible, powerful things that God did. There's many things in the meal. And in past years, I've celebrated the Seder meal with you all. And I've done it a few times in my life. To celebrate the meal and to have a piece of meat there from the lamb. to have bitter herbs there, to have salty water there. And all of that is parts of the story. And this is what they asked Jesus, where do you want us to prepare the Passover? And all of these things were collected in this meal, and they were all brought together. And this is what Jesus is doing with his disciples. Celebrating about God leading them out of slavery. What an incredible event. What an incredible happening. What an incredible thing it is to go back and rehearse that and to think about that. But you know what? Jesus changed that meal. He changed that meal and brought a different meaning to it, a deeper meaning. It didn't take away from the meaning of the Passover and the angel of death passing over the houses of all the Israelite people. It didn't take away from that. It added to that. For you see, next weekend we're going to celebrate what? The resurrection of the Lamb of God that died on the cross for our sins. And his blood is used to cover our sins and pay for the penalty of our sins so that we can be at one with God. Atonement. Write the word out sometime. At one. That's what atone means. Something happens so that we could be at one with God. The death of Jesus Christ, he was our Passover lamb. If you understand the story of the Passover, you understand what Jesus did for us. And the exciting thing about that is once for all. One time. When they celebrated the Passover, they celebrated it every year. One time this sacrifice happens. Now, being a beach bum myself, I'm glad that you're not bringing me lambs this week in order to sacrifice them so that you can take them home and roast them to eat them with your family. I'm a beach bum. I'm not a farm worker. Amen? Go ahead, brother. I don't think Eric wants me working out on the farm with him. I can try, but I often fail. Beach bums can't be trained much unless you didn't know that. I'm glad we're not part of that system where this week you would go and get a lamb and it would live with you all week until Thursday. And you get to hear it all week. Bah, bah, bah. And then you would bring it to me on Thursday so I could slaughter it for you, and you could take it home and roast it and have the Passover meal. Now, I know some of you don't like lamb. My wife and I do, and next Sunday we will be having lamb for our evening meal. Because we continue to do that, to remember who Jesus Christ is for us. So next Sunday evening, we'll be having grilled lamb chops. Let me know if you're coming. I get a few extra ones and throw them on the grill. They only take about 5 minutes to cook, and they're absolutely wonderful after you marinate them. I know some of you are still going to tell me you don't like lamb. That's okay. More for me. But this is what Jesus is doing with his disciples. When he changes the meal and he brings a different meaning to it, then Jesus gave a deeper meaning to the meal by explaining his death. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's going to die on the cross. He knows. He understands that. And you know how I know that he understands that? Because after they go to the Mount of Olives, Jesus goes off by himself and prays three times. Lord, please, if there's any other way for this to happen, please let this cup pass from me. But if not, your will be done. If not, your will be done. It says in one of the scriptures, one of the gospels, that he's praying so hard and so anxious about this whole thing that blood is coming out and dropping off of his forehead. And that is a known medical condition that can happen to people that are very anxious and very worried. And it says that's what happens to him. He knows. So as he serves this meal that night, as the one who's telling the story, as the one who's sharing, I often wondered who the youngest disciple was there. Because the youngest disciple that was there got to ask the question, why is this night any different than any other night? And I wonder how many of the other disciples were ribbing that person, because, hey, hey, you're the youngest, you get to ask. And Jesus shares the story, and then he says, he takes a loaf of bread, and he blesses it just as they do in the Seder meal. And then he takes the bread and he breaks it, and I believe that he shows it to his disciples, and he says, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Can you imagine their shock and surprise? He has changed the script that they have used for thousands of years. He's not doing the right thing. But he's explaining what's going to happen on Friday. By the way, we call it Good Friday because what happened for us? It was not a Good Friday for Jesus. It's good for what happens for us because of the atonement. His body was broken. And he holds up one of the cups. There are four cups of wine that night that are used during the Seder meal, and he holds up one of the cups and he says, thank you to God. And then he tells his disciples, he changed it again, and he tells them, this cup is my blood of the new covenant. Drink so that you might live. Now there's an important thing that happens in the midst of all this, though. Because right before he changes the meal, he tells them that one's going to betray him. And they're all sitting around trying to figure out who. Folks, before we come to this meal, we should spend some time looking at our lives. Are we living a life that betrays Jesus? Are we living a life that's different than what Jesus is asking us to do? We should look at our lives too. Are we ready to partake of this meal? Because this is an incredible meal. I mean, Jesus links it back to the Passover. A sacred meal took on a deeper meaning. About believers released from the bondage of sin. Not just being brought out of slavery. Now they're released from the bondage of sin. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you that you might live. Folks, we're not bound to sin anymore. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are not bound to it. Do we fall to sin at times? Yes. But we're not bound to it. We have been released from it. Brother Rick, what's the words to the song? My chains are gone. They've been broken. Your chains to sin has been broken by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And he changed this meal by making a connection all the way back to the Passover, all the way back to that time in Egypt. And he said, every time you get together, celebrate this meal. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you. I want to ask you, do you see the past connections and the present release from sin in this meal? Do you see the past connections and the present release from sin in this meal? That's what this meal is about. Released from slavery. Released from bondage to sin. Because of the life and death of Jesus Christ. This meal is important. This meal makes a connection all the way back to Moses' time. I would encourage you sometime, go and read the book of Exodus and what happens there. The very first parts of it will tell you the story of this meal and the things that happened there as the people were released from slavery. And Jesus says, this meal means the same thing for you. Are you willing to allow the Lamb of God to die for you? He has already. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to make that part of your life? As Kathy plays now, I'm just going to ask you to take a few moments. Examine yourself. Are you ready to partake of this meal? Is God asking something deeper to come into you about what this meal means? Take a moment.